Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk, and thanks for watching. Let's get to the docket. First, two autopsies, same result as it relates to George Floyd. Second, good cops and bad cops. Third, charges for a missing woman finally come about. Our dumb criminal contestant of the day, and we may be out of YouTube detention tomorrow. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk, and thanks for watching. We would ask if you have not already done so, hit that subscribe button, hit the like button, leave a comment, and hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we put out new content or when we go live. First on the docket, two autopsies, same result as it relates to George Floyd. Now, yesterday we discussed the George Floyd matter, and after we produced it and put our video up, guess what? The Hennepin County Coroner's Office released an amended autopsy result. Shocking, right? Remember, originally the Hennepin County Coroner said, not really a homicide here. We're not sure there's any criminal intent whatsoever. And they're kind of still hedging on that. But as we discussed yesterday, the Floyd family, through their attorney, had hired an independent autopsy to be taken place. And they hired a Dr. Alicia Wilson and Dr. Michael Bodden. He's been around a long time, former medical examiner in New York City. Lots of experience, called in on lots of cases. Now, the Hennepin County Medical Examiner's amended report now says that Mr. Floyd died from cardiopulmonary arrest, complicating law enforcement, subdual restraint, and neck compression. The manner of death is, in fact, a homicide, but they note that it is not a legal determination of culpability or intent. Information that has come out from the Hennepin County Medical Office in some preliminary blood screens has shown that Mr. Floyd was apparently on some fentanyl, and may have even had some methamphetamine in his system. Nobody knows at what levels because that information has not been released yet. However, this does not shock me at all. This is the beautiful thing about the adversarial system that we have in place here in the United States. Obviously, this coroner was clearly trying to for lack of a better term, probably trying to help the police officer out, because that's what they do. A lot of people in the government process there in the DA's office and the coroner's office think that they're all fighting on the same team when, in fact, they're all supposed to be independent. The coroner's office is literally supposed to be the guy with no dog in this fight and simply calls the facts what they are. Now, as soon as the family's report and Dr. Michael Bodden comes out with their conclusions, then the Hennepin County Medical Examiner amends their report and changes it and says, yes, it is a homicide because it is a death by someone other than natural causes or an accident, which are some of the manners of death that can be put on a death certificate. But this was clearly a contributing factor in this particular case. Basically, what they're saying is that Mr. Floyd had a heart attack, and it was all kind of induced by the police officers, but we didn't find any strangulation. Now, Dr. Bodden's conclusions differ greatly in that regard, but the bottom line is their conclusions are that it was a homicide. Now, this is where the prosecutors are going to have to make their charging decision. They have to decide, do we stick with the third-degree murder? Do we go down to a manslaughter? Or do we bump it up to second or maybe even a first-degree murder? I don't think anyone has any credible evidence that says that now former police officer Derek Chauvin got up that morning and said that he was going to kill Mr. Floyd. However, we've talked about this before. After deliberation can be rather quick It can be decided on a moment's notice. And one could certainly make the argument, a prosecutor could, that now ex-officer Chauvin, is sitting there on his neck and the other officers are on his back and he's crying for help and people are saying he doesn't look well, that they're ignoring that. Now, is that reckless behavior or are they trying to kill him? I don't think most people would say he was trying to kill him intentionally after deliberation. Possibly second degree murder, third degree murder under the Minnesota statute would certainly fit. We'll see. Obviously, the defense attorney for officer or ex-officer Chauvin is going to argue, and he will probably try to find more experts to say that when you step back from the emotions of all of this, that Mr. Floyd died of a heart attack. He would have died of a heart attack had he been on the ground, had he been sitting, allowed to remain in the car. Who knows that he was putting huge stresses on his heart and his system doing these alleged narcotics. Now, that's the argument that a defense attorney defending officer or ex-officer Chauvin is going to have to make. We'll see how that ultimately plays out. Who knows? Maybe there'll be a plea bargain, but first there have to be charges. This case will be a battle of the experts. Now, yesterday I said that the press conference given by the Floyd family via their attorney sounded like an opening statement to a civil case where they talked about training and implementing changes as it relates to use of force type of policies that exist. That's on the civil side, all right? Ex-officer Chauvin and his attorneys are probably going to argue that he was not violating policy. And even though they have a policy, they were probably told that he could, you know, do the restraint that he used on Mr. Floyd. It is going to be a battle of the experts, no doubt, in this particular case. And here's the thing. We will all have to wait and see what the jury comes up with if it ultimately comes to a jury decision. Obviously, everyone's going to be watching this case because, if you may have noticed, it was the only thing that changed the news cycle from the COVID-19 pandemic. That had to be significant. Next on the docket, good cops and bad cops. Let's talk about it. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I think there are a lot of good police officers out there. In fact, I think most of them are good. I think most of them become police officers because they truly want to help people. They want to serve and protect. I do honestly believe that. Now, there are bad ones, just like there are in any profession out there. And we've all heard the saying, oh, he's just a bad apple. Okay. Well, you've also heard the saying that one bad apple ruins the whole lot. And that's the problem with the police organizations that defend the bad cops. As a criminal defense attorney, these cases where we are seeing excessive force use, where we are seeing police kick in the wrong doors to people's apartments, where it's sloppy police work, where people are pulled over because they're, you know, driving while black, driving while Hispanic, those types of things. I have seen that my entire career as a defense attorney. Suddenly people are being brought out of their bubbles and saying, oh my gosh, I guess my world isn't so rosy and perfect as I thought it was as I sit here in my little suburban utopia. Yes, this stuff goes on all the time. I have also said this before, that the problem with these police organizations are that you can be a bad police officer, keep your job, and you really can't get fired. There was a case here in Denver where a police officer was fired, and now 10 years later, the excessive force that this officer used, someone on a civil service commission found that he should not have been fired, and now the city and county of Denver has to repay this officer nearly $1 million in back pay. The incident was on video. It was clearly excessive, but they never stop fighting for these officers that are the bad eggs. And the union will fight to the bitter end because they want to make sure that that could be them next if they are doing something. But if you're doing everything right and you're doing everything by the book and treating people with courtesy and respect, you will be okay. Now, don't get me wrong. Do I think that if we all just had a big group hug, everything would be okay? No. There exists evil in the world, all right? And evil needs to be confronted with good. And sometimes good involves force. And sometimes it may even involve deadly force, okay? I'm not some guy that's completely drank the Kool-Aid that, you know, no one deserves to go to prison and that everything is always going to be perfect. And if we just got to know the good side of everybody, I have met evil. I have seen evil. Not many times where I say, wow, that is just pure evil, but it does exist. What you have started to see lately is police officers getting fired rather quickly. As we saw in Minneapolis, the four officers involved as it relates to the George Floyd incident, all fired within 2 days. In Atlanta, there was an incident the other night where officers literally pulled out of the car, broke the window, pulled two college students out of the car and tased them. Now, these two young men state that they were out getting food and basically got detoured into a protest. That's when the police told them to basically get out. Like I said, broke the window, pulled them from their car, and tased them before doing that. It was all on video. The mayor, once they saw the video, and the police chief, after seeing the video, fired two of those officers. Four were put on desk duty. Well, now six of those officers, all six of them, have been charged with excessive force. Four of the officers have been charged with aggravated assault: Mark Gardner for tasing Pilgrim, Ivory Streeter for tasing Young and pointing a gun at him, Lonnie Hood for using a taser on Pilgrim and Young, and Willie Sauls for pointing a taser at them. Another officer, Armand Jones, has been charged with aggravated battery for forcefully throwing Young down on the street and pointing a gun at him. The sixth officer, Roland Claude, is charged with criminal damage to property, which was damage to the gentleman's car. I think we're going to start to see a trend when this takes place. And maybe, just maybe, we'll start having situations like we had in Fayetteville, North Carolina today. Take a look at this video. So protesters were out in Fayetteville, North Carolina on Monday, and there was going to be basically a kind of a tense standoff with protesters who are out there seeking justice for George Floyd. And as the protesters are lined up, there are some 60 police officers that are lined up as well. And all 60 police officers knelt before the marchers on the road. The Fayetteville Police Department said, as a show of understanding the pain that is in our community and our nation regarding the equality, the Fayetteville Police Department took a knee to show that we also stand for justice for everyone. We are committed to listening and treating everyone with dignity and respect. Now, anyone who's watched Crime Talk for a while, what have I always said? We should treat all with dignity and respect, whether it's in our point of views, in the comments section, whether you're going to court. Sometimes you can agree to disagree, but as long as we're all being treated with dignity and respect, good things will usually come about. So hopefully this, which is kind of a moving moment, and for a very non-emotional guy like myself, it kind of choked me up just a little bit. It kind of shows that maybe there is a little bit of humanity in the world where we all can possibly get along. And everybody, the police, the citizens, all know that everybody's doing their job and they're going to treat everybody with dignity and respect, regardless of their position in life, their socioeconomic status or their skin color. As Martin Luther King once said, let's judge people based upon the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Next on the docket, the case regarding a missing woman here in Colorado has finally been brought to charges. An Arapahoe County grand jury has indicted Jeffrey Scott Beier, B-E-I-E-R, for the murder of his girlfriend, Charlene Voigt, who disappeared in Littleton, Colorado in 2016. Now, Beier is in custody in Russia, and according to the indictment, Beier was in a relationship with Charlene, and she was living with him at the time of her disappearance. Her body has never been found. This case was featured on Dateline NBC's Missing in America series in 2016 when Charlene was reported missing by her family on July 8th. She was 36 at the time of her disappearance, and the witnesses who had last seen her were on June 30th of 2016. According to the indictment, Beier has been charged with first-degree murder, first-degree felony murder, sexual assault, two counts of tampering with evidence, third-degree assault, and two counts of attempting to influence a public servant by misleading authorities about Charlene's disappearance. Beier is also charged with aggravated animal cruelty. According to the affidavit, investigators believe that Beier dumped several items at a tower landfill in Commerce City, Colorado on July 2 of 2016. An excavation by authorities in November of 2016 revealed many personal items that belonged to Charlene, including the body of her small dog wrapped in a red sweater believed to have belonged to Charlene's missing Chihuahua, Toby. It's unclear exactly when Mr. Beier will be returned to Colorado, but according to the district attorney here in the 18th Judicial District, which is George Brockler, they are ready and willing to proceed upon his arrival. That is a horrific case. Charlene obviously believes that she knew and was aware of Mr. Beier. And we have a sponsor, and it's People Finders. And People Finders, if you go to crimetalksearch.com and you sign up, it's $4.95, you can do a background check. You will search many public databases, and you will be able to find out if the person that you are talking to that you think you can trust is, in fact, the person that you believe that you may be dating or living next door to. It simply doesn't hurt. And for $4.95, you can check as many people as you would like. You can cancel at any time. No high pressure. I'm telling you, I've used this product myself in my law firm. It saved me a lot of time and clients a lot of money. And it's even come through in a couple of circumstances when expensive background searches by private investigators haven't worked so well. So give it a shot. Go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up. It's only $4.95. I think you'll be happy with it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk, and I'm here to tell you that everyone should have a background check subscription. Information is power. The more information you have, the better decisions you can make. Who would you possibly think you need to search? Well, how about the babysitter, the babysitter's parents, your kids' friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, anyone you're going to date, and maybe someone you just don't get that warm, fuzzy feeling at work. Go to the link, sign up for your easy subscription that you can cancel at any time, check social media presence, convictions, sex offender status, bankruptcies, and property. You could spend weeks doing what People Finders can do in a matter of minutes. I have personally used this product. It has saved me a lot of time and clients a lot of money. I recommend you give it a try. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. And I'm telling you, this guy may be a contender for the dumb criminal contestant of the year. Take a look at this video. This gentleman apparently picked up a few items in Atlanta during some rioting. I don't know. It's an ATM machine. And if you can't, you know, maybe you didn't have your keys at that particular time to open up the ATM machine and take out the money, you have to take it home. So you have to take it on the bus. This bus driver is having nothing to do with it. Take a look. What can you say? What can you say other than the things people will do? And I don't think stealing an ATM is going to bring justice for George Floyd. Just saying. Peaceful protest, good. Destroying innocent people's property and beating them, bad. Just remember that. Next on the docket. That's right. Tomorrow, June 3rd, 2020, Crime Talk will be out of YouTube detention. That's right. When you do things and some people are offended by them and think that they're too sensitive, YouTube can put you into YouTube detention. And we come out of detention tomorrow. So our plan is tomorrow to go live at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and we will stream, assuming our technology is up and running, on YouTube and Facebook. But you can go to either one you want because we'll be streaming it live at the same time. And when we get done with that live, which will go for about an hour, we will then go to a link to our Patreon members where we will have more interaction and you can ask more questions. So if you haven't already joined Patreon, now may be a good time to do so, so that you can participate after our live show tomorrow. Thanks for watching. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on Crime Talk.